Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. Thank you very much, Michael, for holding it up and that awesome, insightful, interesting how, you know, Ngungula service station is what we call our, you know, legally questionable ways of trading with petroleum products. Actually, not petroleum products, just fuel. Let's be honest. It's either diesel. I think it's just diesel and, diesel and petrol, you know, from Angola to Namibia. What if, you know, the Angolans are just reciprocating that trade by, you know, legally questionably acquiring our cattle? Although, to be fair, I don't think when we buy that petrol, we are, you know, just illegally acquiring it from their service stations. But, well, it seems like, the first thing you have to understand is, clearly in the northern regions, especially mine, animal husbandry is on demand. Oh, one of my classmates just found me. Hi, how are you? Oh yeah, I have a beard now. I know. I decided to keep it so that I can just, you know, show off at this point. So, Angola. Okay, this is just the, you know, this is just the southern part of Angola. You know, and Angola by landmass is massive. So don't just, let's not just assume that, the entire Angola is a monolith. No, it's not. The southern part of it is the one that's, it seems to be very good at acquiring, domestic animals, from the northern part of Namibia. 700,000. Worth of. That's a lot. Now, it seems to me like, if I was Angolan and I was listening to this, I would ask myself one question. Why are these people getting to the point of risking their lives? Because that's literally risking your life, to cross the river and then steal cattle. It seems to me like, someone have to look up on the Angolan meat market. Chances are very high they have, we could be having one heck of a market there. But we don't know about it. So clearly there is a market. When someone is stealing something, there is a market that they are supplying that product to. And we know this how? Well, just look at the reasons why we keep losing our smartphones. You lose your smart, now the reasons why we keep losing them is because, well, the marketplace is where you find the, is where we find all our stolen cell phones, albeit, they're given a new look. You know, they take the motherboard from this one and put it in that cover. You will never recognize it. And definitely not talking from experience. That's a close one. 20 minutes to the hour of 10. We just started. So that's, wanted to brush through that one. Wanted to ask myself and me and myself, my fellow Namibians and our neighbors to the, our neighbors to the north, not the Zambians, although those ones are our neighbors to the north, northeast, our neighbors to the northwest, basically the entire north and northwest. That's the Angolan. The Angolans is that, when we look at all these cattle that have been stolen, I think there is some type of economic wisdom to learn from this. These guys are stealing all this cattle because they are supplying a market. There is a thriving meat market out there. Our president has recently paid her visit to Angola. How about just tell her that, we are looking at this number of what's, of how much cattle we are losing here in Namibia, and the main culprits are our Angolan northern neighbors. So how about we find out which market, we try to find out if there's a market that all this 700,000 worth of cattle is being fed into, and then we talk to our Angolan, to the Angolan government to find out that market and then formalize it, and then we do, like legal trade. We just tell me to go, well, we found the market that was illegally acquiring our cattle, and they have agreed that, you know what, in the name of Ubuntu, how about we just formalize things and we do it in a way that does not risk, you know, the lives of cattle herders. At this point, you know, if you look up a list of the most dangerous jobs, it's usually on, you know, on top of the list there is, those guys that work on, you know, work on oil rigs, and those guys that do diving things, whatever reasons they do that. And then you have firemen, and then you have police officers. They all, you know, all these are dangerous jobs. Who knew that in 2025, looking after cattle is gonna be, you know, join the list of the most dangerous jobs, especially if you're doing that job in the northern part of the Republic of Namibia. Albeit, this is not something that is only, you know, this is not only something that takes place in the northern part of the country, especially here in Namibia. How often have we read stories of farm owners finding carcasses? That's plural for carcass, right? Or carcasses of their animals, and or more like what's left of it. Like, we read about these stories coming out of all corners of Namibia, like all the time. So I'm, you know, what's taking place here in Namibia, I think it's most of it is most likely Kapana motivated. But, but as to what's taking place in the northern part of the country, with the main culprits being the Angolans, let's talk to our Angolan counterparts, aka the Angolan government, so they can try to find out which, you know, which market are these guys feeding. Everything that's illegal, be it illegal mining, illegal arms trade, illegal, any illegal activity has a market, including illegal drugs. If you look up, one website that was shut down, was that in 2007? Silk Road. Was, this was a website, I think, more of, you know, like similar to what you have as Marketplace on Facebook, but it was only accessible via, I think, through the Onion router. That's a fancy way of saying it was only on the dark web. Now, because on the dark web, it's kind of difficult to trace things down because of how the Tor browser is built, because it's literally built for security. There's a reason why it's loved by a lot of questionable individuals. And by the way, it's not all scary and full of hyenas. No, it's just that you are not recommended to be a yes machine on the surface of the internet. And you are told not to be, to be even more extra careful when you're in the dark web. But it's not all full of monsters. But, so let's, This is just a more of a suggestion coming from a comedian. Let's meet with the Angolans, find out which meat market they're feeding, and see if we can monetize it. You know, quick commercial break.
Go big this Easter with extra low prices at WB. Get a 1 kg Yum Yum Peanut Spread Tub for $59.99. 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $74.99 with Smart Buy. 1.8 liter Farmhouse Ice Cream for a sweet $39.99. 1 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $33.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 Sheet 1-Ply Toilet Rolls for $34.99. See all our exciting Easter specials at furmanbrock.com. We care.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, The Eye.
Welcome back. Yesterday we did talk about a few things that that have been discovered. Something that we found. Something that was in public domain. There were statistics of cars that were stolen in 2024, and apparently there's a little bit of like a decline in the how many cars were stolen, in 2023, 2024. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to this whole cattle discussion, we can easily link it to yesterday's statistics of how many cars were stolen in 2024 in this our Republic of Namibia. And what happens to those cars? Some of them are found abandoned and some of them are found stripped for parts. But now if cars are found stripped for parts, believe me, a cow, you're not going to find it because, well, everything is going to be in different people's, digestive systems. And, it's kind of difficult for you to look at someone in the face and go like, you look like you ate my cow. I mean, even if I did, I'd be like, me, your cow? No, absolutely not. The one that I ate tasted like my neighbor's cow. Okay, you have no way of telling that. But I'm capable of giving that excuse. And when you take me to court, I'll be like, Your Honor, I'm a comedian. Boy, do I love my job. So, 700,000, the 700,000 Namibian dollars worth of cattle stolen from Namibia to Angola is a story that you can find in the eVillager newspaper, which is a newspaper you can, a soft copy of a newspaper you can subscribe to by sending the word subscribe via WhatsApp to 0812004144. And please do save the number so that you are not a stranger. And after that, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you will be receiving the Villager newspaper in your inbox, WhatsApp inbox, as long as you have a decent internet connection without any, dollar sign subscription coming from us. It's, the internet part, that's yours. But putting the stories together and updating you with everything that's going on in the world, in Namibia and the world around us, that's where, you leave that to us. I mean, them. I'm now talking about my colleagues. You don't trust me with anything serious. If you do that, that's on you. Now, we went through parts of this yesterday, and that is the eVillager. The story that's in the eVillager today, cattle valued approximately at 783,000 were stolen from Shaiwe village in Namibia's Kavango East region. Shaiwe must be a lot of stones at this place in the Mukwe constituency. Shaiwe, yesterday I was reading, was that Dior? Oh, okay. Now, all I'm just saying is there's a market here. Let's not just look at the dark side of cattle being stolen. Let's find out these guys and, let's track down these guys. But now track them down responsibly because according to the story, the guys are armed to the teeth. They are more armed than M23. So, I mean, on the bright side. And not only are they armed with guns, they also have traditional axes. So believe me, these guys are, so that's a sign that when they find you with your cattle, they are not asking. No, they are telling you to help them drive the cattle across the river to whatever the market is. Now, the problem with people with this mentality is, after you have helped them carry out this whole, that whole activity, there's no guarantee that they're going to leave you alive. Well, if homeboy was left alive, then kudos to him, which also raises a lot of inside job questions. But anyway, what do I know? Okay. Can you imagine being found with your cattle and then a bunch of guys with guns tells you that, thank you very much for buying all this cattle for you. albeit without all the documentation from today henceforth, all these cattle shall be known as ours, and you shall be known as one without cattle. So, how about you just help us drive some of the, you know, all these cattle up to that tree, and then you can come back, you know, just, you know, run to the police, report, but then we're gonna be gone. That pain. Now. Prophets, this is where things you're supposed to prophesy. Where's my kettle? Then I can give you some. But anyway, what do I know? And that's one story that's coming out of the, you know, that's one story that's coming out of the e-villager. The other is SACU to maintain external tariff despite U.S. reciprocal measures. The Southern African Customs Union, SACU, has resolved to maintain its common external tariff despite the United States imposing reciprocal tariffs on SACU member states last month. Oh no, the US did not put tariffs on SACU member states only. That's not what the article says. It's just something that I feel like it's worth pointing out. You see, Donald Trump woke up with his homie Elon Musk and they decided, you know what? What are we gonna do today? I mean, it's not like we can make money. We're already billionaires, but we are bored. We need, well, even billionaires get bored. We need to find something to do. Now, if you are a comedian and you are bored, the best thing you can do to kill the boredom is find a stage and then make people laugh and then you kill the boredom. But if you are a billionaire in the most powerful country in the world, I mean, the world is your stage. You can just make up anything. Oh, okay, how about tariffs? Now, I don't think that's enough. Let's get some white people from South Africa now, shall we? There's something that's taking place, well, interesting enough in the US that seems to be clouded by this whole, 49, you know, or 59 white guys going to the US. And that's the part of, what's this, the Qatari have, gifted, Donald Trump a passenger plane that is modified to be like a private jet. It's basically a flying hotel. And, the first question that came into everyone's mind, especially, you know, including mine, was when this plane was given to Bro Donald Trump, everyone's question was, is this the Qatari royal family gift Donald Trump, or is this the Qatari government's gift to the presidency of the United States? Well, one thing that was made clear, at least according to what I got from John Stewart, was that, the plane has a condition that when Donald Trump leaves office, he's allowed to keep it. Now, for those of you that run around saying, no, there is no corruption in, you know, in developed countries, see, corruption is just in Africa, black people. Look, one thing you have to understand about, one thing I also like about white people is they rename things so it doesn't have its old evil name. It's not corruption. No. It's lobbying. There's a difference. Newsflash, there is no difference. It's corruption. That has just been given a new name. It's like dressing up your cat, getting a sheep outfit for your German Shepherd. And then telling your neighbor that, no, there are no dogs here. I just have a sheep. Under the skin is still a dog. Now, you see the same thing that I've been singing around, about this whole week. After the war in Vietnam, instead of calling it what it was, which is the fact that the US Army killed a lot of civilians, they called it, we didn't kill any civilians. That was collateral damage. Now, what is collateral damage? Is when you kill people in a military confrontation that are not part of the armed forces. So, in other words, you killed civilians. No, we did not. We didn't. You know, killing civilian is such a dirty word. We call it civilian casualty. The language, I'm telling you, everything is buried in verbosity. Civilian casualty. No, you killed innocent people. No, we did not. No, we did not. You know, that was just collateral damage. Really? You see, have you not started, again, you have to understand, just how amazing Western countries are. They're very amazing. Russia invaded Ukraine. But NATO liberated Libya. There's a difference. They're not the same thing. Invading is when invading is when you are not a friend of the West and you start bombarding a country. Now that's invading. But if you are a friend of the West and you bomb a country, you are either delivering democracy to that country, like they did to Syria, Yemen, Libya, Afghanistan, the list is very long. It's either you are delivering democracy or you are defending yourself, like Israel is doing right now. See? There's a difference. There is a very big difference. If you are a friend of Western, if you are a friend of Western countries and you bomb another country, that's called an invasion. But, that's called spreading democracy. But if you are an enemy of Western countries and you bomb another country, that's called an invasion. Now, by the way, an invasion is, there are human rights violations. And, delivering democracy is something totally different. It's not very, if you are a Western country and you close your borders to immigrants that are not white, that's called protecting your country from alien invasion. Literally, they use that term, I swear, alien invasion. But if you are from a Western country and you open up your you open up your border to, to white immigrants, well, you are just, how do I put this? You are saving them from racial inequality. At which point I'm like, someone help me do the math here. You closed your border from non-white people from entering. Now that is called, protecting your country's sovereignty. But then only non-white people cannot come in. White people can come in. So there is a racial discrimination. But when the same rumor, it's not even the truth, it's a flat-out rumor, comes out of a different country, you start going bananas. That's why you shouldn't listen to anything coming out of a politician's mouth. Don't take... how do I put this? Take it with a pinch of salt, because if you just gobble it up, you're going to be eating sewage. Quick break.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Ouli mnangeshefa nohara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohori radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukuru olongaha ninge kwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konora hetatu imwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konora hetatu natu bali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu ninge dumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay, how do I explain this next part? I'm going to use the first 30 minutes to point out a few things. That thanks to the internet, we can now talk about these things. It's usually politics. You know, what is killing democracy is the people that are entrusted with preserving democracy. It's, you know, the very same thing that you see with religion. You know, the most useless people, you know, the most diabolical people are those ones that are, you know, walking around telling everyone they are holy. Those are the worst people under the sun. Now you understand when you read the good book, why Jesus went to, you know, decided to make disciples out of sheep and, you know, shepherds or sheep headers. You have to understand that, according to the Christian good book, that's the only example that I can use. I'm not a Muslim. Otherwise, you know, I don't want to mix things up. When Jesus came, instead of going to people that had PhDs in religion, he went to people that were looking after sheep. It's because people that have PhDs in religion, or more like, the holy fathers or church fathers, priests, prophets, although back then they were called Pharisees, Jesus looked at them and went like, "Aish! Hallelujah! Yeah, I know where we are. I know I'm working with these idiots." He decided to work with people that were less known. Now, that have got to show you that the more educated a human being is, the more useless they become. Let me repeat this again. The more educated a lot of people are, the more useless we become. Again, let me elaborate that. When I saw that the White House was occupied by a lot of billionaires, I thought, man, these guys have money. They are going to run the economy flawlessly, global economy flawlessly. And boy was I wrong. So they decided to start screwing up left, right, and center to the point where they just decided to make it intentional, you know, tariffs and everything. Now, you know, for a very long time, I have listened to a lot of Africans, parroting the same, more like, how do I call this? Anti-European sentiment because of colonialism. But now the examples that are used, and which is still my favorite, the examples that are more often used are, we are never going to forgive them because they killed Thomas Sankara, because they killed, Patrice Lumumba. And they did. But one thing we more often fail to address was who enabled them to. It was us. Now, the most, the story of Patrice Lumumba is a painful one. But, it's a painful one in its brutality, in a way that, the man was treated. He was killed, cut into pieces, his body dissolved in acid. Like, the man was literally wiped off the earth, of the planet. But when it comes to, now, in brutality, the story of Patrice Lumumba is a very painful one. But, in betrayal, the story of Thomas Sankara, at least for me, is the most painful one. Because not only was he betrayed by his right-hand man, he was betrayed by his, childhood friend. If you think someone will come from, you know, from China or Europe to come and betray you, no, it's usually your uncle, you know, your homie, which is why it's called betrayal. It's not betrayal if it's someone you don't know. That's just straight up punching you in the face. It's called betrayal when it's coming from someone who backstabbed you. Who backstabbed you. And when you turned around, you saw that, not only do you have a knife in your back, but that knife, the hand attached to the knife is of the person you personally know. So, moving on. So, I'm using that as an example because, first of all, you have to understand that in politics, propaganda is the order of the day. It doesn't matter whether politics is being practiced in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, and it's just part of politics. You know, make promises you can't keep. Just like, some boyfriends I won't mention. Okay, that was a terrible example because chances are very high. I mean that statistics. But anyway, I knew this whole live streaming thing was a bad idea. But, moving on. You see, you will find a lot of people, fully grown men with their families, and they will start pushing, ideas that will just flat out to divide and conquer. They will just be there to divide. And one of those biggest examples that at least that I can agree with, you don't have to agree with me, you have a brain of your own, think. One that I can agree with is one that I am going to share with you. You see, there's this organization called AfriForum in South Africa. The only African thing about that organization is the Afri part. The rest is very non-African. Not because it's run by a bunch of white people. I don't have a problem with the guys because they're white. I have a big problem with the guy because of the ideology. Now, before you start saying, you must really hate white people. Oh, no, I don't. That's the reason why I picked this specific video. Because this is of white people cooking other white people. And I just, I'll just be there to adding on some oxygen where it's needed. So, and also, by the way, a bunch of guys that are being cooked are men. The person doing the cooking is a woman. So on this one, racial equality, check. Gender equality, check. Now, without further ado, let's do this. Boy, well, I still think live streaming is a bad idea.
Have been in Washington telling people about the Afrikaner activists have been in Washington telling people about the plight of Afrikaans farmers and urging the US to lay sanctions against ANC politicians. It's caused a huge outcry in South Africa. Treason charges have been laid against them. They've been accused of spreading disinformation in the Washington corridors of power. And all of this, all the controversy, has meant an unprecedented amount of publicity towards a private organization which relies on members' fees and donations.
You see, South Africa decided to put up something called a Land Expropriation Act. Now, the Land Expropriation Act, anyone that has a smartphone read the document. It emphasized giving access to, giving the government legal access to land for public, and I cannot stress this enough, to be acquired in public interest. And the document made it categorically clear that this is not the South African government that's going to storm up and say, you know what, even though you did that, because 100 years ago, you stole my uncle's farm, I'm going to take it now, pack your bags and get you behind Europe. That's not what the document says. What it says is the government is going to follow all the legal procedures to acquire the land that will be used for public purposes. For example, public infrastructure, transportation, hospitals and stuff. There will still be legal acquisition of this farmland. Now, a bunch of guys took that information and intentionally twisted it and hopped on a plane and went straight to the US. And they started misrepresenting the South African government left, right, and center. Now, I'm not only going to blame those guys. I'm also going to blame a bunch of guys that, quote-unquote, received this information halfway across the planet because they are the most technologically advanced. They are one of the most technologically advanced country on Earth. All they had to do was get a smartphone and Google the document. Now I'm about to start cursing. Google the document. But the fact that they did not do any of that, they just decided to take a lie without first verifying to see if it really is a lie. And they started parroting similar ideologies on it, including, the sanctioning of ANC members. Don't get me wrong. ANC members have been accused of a lot of things, including borrowing money and chopping the money. You remember all the, remember all the load shedding? The load shedding story is a story on its own that will take you back to 1929. Now, ESCO was not founded to feed the 60 plus million South African population. It was built to feed mostly the minority white and the majority, the mining complex. Now, following the independence dispensation in 1994, what happened was now they had this small electricity producing facility that was first made to produce electricity for a small group of people. Now it has to cater for an entire country. Experts, engineers, not politicians, engineers started telling them that we have to expand this facility. None of them listened. They started, experts started telling them that you are going to have load shedding if you are not careful. So that was in 1994, in the early 2000s. Fast forward to 2008, when load shedding started. That's when everyone started scrambling, and instead of, they decided to go and borrow money. And the money was used in some questionable way that led to, Chancellor House and Hitachi Energy Africa, an energy firm with, a Japanese energy firm, that's also operating in South Africa. These guys were fined for misappropriating some of these funds. So, putting all that aside, you see, there is a lot, like every country that you see, the NC government have been accused of mismanagement of a lot of things. So, that's not new. The problem is, on this Land Expropriation Act, and on the whole story of Land Expropriation Act and the whole, on the Land Expropriation Act and the racial inequality that's being practiced in South Africa by the majority black leadership. The Trump administration decided to just fall for that, not because they're dumb. Not because they didn't have time to verify the information. It's because they just wanted to push the ideology that there is a black and white crime going on in South Africa. Now, is there black and white tension going on in South Africa? Oh yeah, there is black and white tension everywhere, including in the US. The majority of the people that are incarcerated in the US are black. White people in the US will tell you that. White people statistics in the US will tell you that. Now, why am I rambling about this? It's because, for the consumers now of what's coming out of the media, if you are not taking the time to verify what I am rambling about here, you will have no way of knowing whether or not I am lying my teeth, I'm lying through my teeth. But anyway, let me not do the cooking. Let me allow that wonderful madam to do the cooking of AfriForum for me. I'm just here to supply a little bit of oxygen.
Now, part of the alarm back home in response to this lobbying trip has been the group's claim that they met with some of America's most powerful politicians, which got me wondering, who were these people at this incredibly hectic point in American politics, willing to carve out time to meet with a little-known organization from the tip of the African continent? I'm Rebecca Davis, senior journalist for Daily Maverick. So the delegation that went to Washington was sent by the Solidarity Movement, which, as a reminder, is an amalgamation of Afrikaner rights groups, media houses, and businesses. It includes the Solidarity Union and the lobby group AfriForum.
So in other words, it's like a pan-Africanist movement, but for white people in South Africa. Actually, not all, but for some white people in South Africa, not all of them. So don't lump them in one, don't lump them in one group. Just, there are those that still believe that, apartheid was the best era of, it was the best era if you knew a guy who knew a guy who was busy oppressing a bunch of black people. But, well, those days are gone. Thank heavens. Now, whether you like it or not, we are sharing. This is the best time to be alive, especially if you're a comedian. But anyway, on a bunch of people that went to South Africa and claimed to have met with high profiles, U.S. officials, this is an amalgamation of a lot of, Solidarity Trade Union. And in that group, there were people that were come from specific media houses. Now you see the problem. So you have some Solidarity guys that are parroting the idea, and they have a microphone, aka a media house, they are parroting those ideas through so that they can reach the masses. Now, this is something that actually both black people and white people, especially in Namibia and South Africa, should really start raising up and start asking questions. When some of these things begin to pop up, because there were a bunch of allegations that were made here. None of them could I at least verify, nor did this guy, nor did that wonderful lady was also, well, because the whole, the whole thing was her asking one question. You have a bunch of people that came out, that left South Africa and went to the U.S. And then when they came back, they said, they met with high profile U.S. officials, but they could not mention, by name, which official they met with. It turns out the whole time the guys were lying. They didn't meet with anyone. At least not one of significance. Now, the ideas they took was what you'd classify as a right wing. Right wing is a fancy way of saying, oh my God, French 1600. My favorite part. In the 16 or 1700, French, the French, monarchy was facing its, dangling by a thread. So there were a lot of French population that demanded that, we want a representative government. In other words, this whole nonsense of the big guy upstairs giving the power to rule to you and your family only is it's absolute nonsense. Now, we want to participate into voting the person that is going to make decisions the decisions that are going to impact us. So the king, I think that was King Louis the 16th, if I'm not mistaken, decided to call for a meeting. That meeting was arranged in a way that those ones that wanted to stick to the traditional way of ruling, aka God somewhere told a bunch of greedy idiots that the power to rule is only in their blood. Those ones that supported that idea sat on the right side of the king. Those ones that wanted a new way, more like progressive way of leadership, aka democracy, voting, and all that nonsense, they sat on the right side of the king. So that's where the whole idea of right wing, left wing, which is why to this day, if you are left wing, you're considered progressive. If you are right wing, you're considered more like, we can't change tradition because, well, it's against, I don't know who it is against, but it's against someone very powerful. Never met them, but still they are powerful. All that belief and nonsense. So, this whole idea here is one that is very, what you'd describe as right-wing-ish. Like, things were so better when it was just, us benefiting on everything. Now, my favorite part about this whole thing is, my God, this is uniting black people and white people more than I thought, both in the U.S. and South Africa. Because both, there was this Afrikaner lady who had, I think, been living in, had been living in Canada. She made a video cooking the refugees that landed in the U.S. I'm like, okay, this is fun. Look, as a black person, I'm just saying it's very, I decided to get my popcorn when I was watching this lady's video. Now, I'll give you a gist of what she said. Obviously what she's, you know, I think she's a comedian and she's very good at it. That, you know what, my heart pours out to the, you know, the Afrikaners that decided to go to the US. Now, this video is for my American audience. Now, if you really want to welcome those American, you know, those South Africans, you know, you have to understand, the first thing is you have to understand that they really suffered where they came from. So let me teach you a little bit of basic Afrikaans. Now, if you want to really welcome them to your house, the best way to welcome them to your house is your masse. Let's leave it there. Now, that was white on white. I'm like, this is beautiful. This is the best time to be alive. Man, I'm making a lot of right-wing white enemies right now, but welcome to the land of the brave and my comedy show. But anyway, the beautiful part of this is that, thanks to technology and social media and basically, internet, a lot of people both in South Africa, let me just say, a lot of people across the world have managed to sort of like see through all the propaganda that's been cooked by a lot of American politicians against South Africa. And we all know this has nothing to do with racial discrimination, which is why if I was an Afrikaner in South Africa, I would not have gotten on that plane, because I know this whole thing is against it's about South Africa taking Israel to the International Criminal Court. It has nothing to do with the Land Expropriation Act. It has nothing to do with with the touchy subject of farm murders in South Africa. Actually, the U.S. government could not care less about any of these subjects taking place in South Africa. This has everything to do with the U.S., with South Africa taking Israel to the International Criminal Court. And my favorite part is I'm not the only one who have, who have that point of view on this subject. Now, if you look at, if you look at the motivating factor behind, and you understand that this actually has nothing to do with any type of discrimination, you will have to be deranged to fall for any of this nonsense. But hey, it turns out that, it's very easy to lie to people than tell them the truth. Which is why I don't lie nor tell the truth. Now, so let's take a couple of minutes here. I only have 7 minutes before I come back to my newspaper here because I have some local cooking to do.
They sent 4 guys to Washington in February. Afroforum CEO Kali Kriel, Solidarity CEO Dirk Herman, Solidarity Movement Chairman Flip Bass, and Solidarity's International Relations Liaison, Jakub Kleinhans. While they were in Washington, these guys enjoyed an extraordinary amount of attention from the South African media. They were on TV doing crossings from the States almost every night of their trip, telling South Africans about the message they were taking to Washington. But what they never said was exactly who they were giving this message to. They made constant vague references to meeting with highly influential figures or key decision makers, which could really be anyone. But more specifically, Kali Kriel told his ex-followers that on February 26th, the group had met with, quote, senior members of the House of Representatives Committee on Foreign Affairs. In his video, he claimed that the meeting showed it was very clear that members of this committee closely monitor what is happening in South Africa, down to already knowing what was happening with the Bella Act. On February 27th, he referred to discussions held, quote, in the U.S. Congress with both Republicans and Democrats, which, quote, confirmed that there is currently anger among those in power in the U.S. over the ANC leaders' reckless policies and actions. The same evening, Kriel told ENCA, quote,
We went yesterday to Congress, spoke to senior people there. They are angry with regard to what is happening in South Africa. It threatens property rights also of U.S. businesses.
So these were quite specific claims. He was saying that the Solidarity Movement didn't just meet with secretaries or staffers or people who work for think tanks. Kali Kriel was saying they met with Congress members. That is the equivalent of our MPs, elected politicians to the Senate and the House of Representatives from both the Republican and Democratic parties. Now, that would really be quite something to pull off. I contacted 2 sources with experience lobbying in Washington, And they told me that your chances of getting in front of a congressman or congresswoman or senator as a private foreign group, not even a foreign political party, are minuscule. One told me it was, quote, virtually impossible. So I started off asking the Solidarity Movement who they met with. They refused to say who they met.
Of course they refused to say who they met with. I think after sitting in this chair and cooking a lot of people with more money and power than me, and a lot of rupas, and I don't even own a bicycle, I have come to learn one thing about politics. Politics is about either destroying the status quo or keeping it in place. One of the two. And politicians are willing to do anything to achieve the end goal. So most of the things, most of the things that politicians do, it's mostly about how to put this. It's mostly about a mean to an end. There's an end game, and in the process of getting to that end game, they are willing to use any group, any media house, anyone that is willing to sit down and listen to them. Now, the most important thing is about I don't care about human rights groups and all those things. I have taken the inspiration of George Carlin. I yell mostly to consumers of information. I'm one of those people that consume information on a daily basis. It's what I do. But I ask myself a lot of questions before deciding what I'm going to talk about and what I'm going, what I'm not going to talk about. And also, again, at the back of my head is Primo Levi's quote of, "Monsters do exist. Monsters live among us, but they are not many enough to cause the damage they usually cause. The biggest problem are followers of those monsters that blindly follow them without asking questions as to what the heck are we doing?" And this is the same problem you have in a religion today. All throughout a lot of religious ideologies, you have people that are just sitting there believing that, well, because it's coming from a 3,000-year-old book, it must be true, therefore I can't ask the pastor questions. Well, my uncle is a pastor, a very good one. He's going to tell you that questions is what we do. Look, if I go to your church and I'm not allowed to ask questions, I'm getting out of there. Because my first question is, what the heck are you hiding? Like, yeah, what? You can't ask questions to that guy because he's holy. If he's holy, then he stands even better chances of answering a few questions that I have. Like, for one, where did Yona find his wife? I want to go and get myself one from there. You can't tell a woman you disappeared for 3 days because you were in a belly of a fish and she's going to believe you. She's going to murder you. Speaking of which, has someone checked on what Yona's cause of death was? Like, the story just went... Hang on a second. What killed Yona? We know that the fish swallowing him didn't kill him. And, clearly he's strong enough to survive, the sulfuric acid, obviously. Is there sulfuric acid in the stomach of a whale? But anyway, I know we have. But, he survived the belly of a fish. It could have been killed by the other gender I won't mention. But anyway, because we also have an equivalent of that. Take, for example, Simpson, very strong, killed a lion. Then Delilah was like, yeah, easy peasy. I know. King Ahab was the king of Israel, man of the people, of power and everything. Jezebel was like, oh yeah, come here. Make I show you. But that one, we can barely pin that on women. That's because we can also pin that on the big guy upstairs for creating us on, an extra head downstairs that has never made a good decision. Just one terrible decision after another. It's a good one, though. I'm talking about, Okay. Moving on. Moving on. We only have 2 more minutes. Then I can come back to my local media here.
Solidarity Movement spokesperson Werner Humann told me, quote, "We are not going to provide the details of the individuals we met with. It will compromise the integrity of our discussions, and it will expose them to bombardment by the media and exploitative political parties and individuals." That's fine. Lobbying in Washington can be a secretive, shadowy business, but it is noteworthy that the DA took its own lobbying trip to Washington round about the same time. And their international relations spokesperson, Emma-Louise Powell, was happy to give much more detail about who the DA met with, which included Africa advisors at the National Security Council, Democrat senators from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, including Chris Coons, the legislative staff director for Ted Cruz, Secretary of State Marco Rubio's key advisor. But also to note is that the DA spends serious money on lobbying in Washington, which is what you have to do. There's a site called Open Secrets, which records how much foreign entities have spent lobbying in Washington over the past year. The DA is on there. SA Tourism is on there. Solidarity Movement is not on there.
Okay, you know, that's a pretty lengthy video, and she's explaining and you know, a lot of things. And one thing I like about the whole thing is that when she's explaining, she's bringing out this whole PowerPoint of newspaper articles that you can, you know, do your own verifications on. I decided to stop at the part where she said, well, lobbying requires serious money in the US. Let me explain this. The Namibian way. Bribing requires serious money. In other words, every time, I swear this is the most painful part about Western politics now. Every time you see a congressman standing there saying, you know what, this country, we must invade, check their bank account. Someone paid them to say that. They are not saying that out of their own accord. Check their bank account. Now, one thing again I love about the United States of America is how they catalog everything. Now, the website known as Open Secret, you know, Open Secrets, will just outline how many, you know, more like a bunch of guys that, you know, you just see a bunch of list of both individuals and organizations that have been lobbying for, you know, for their voices to be carried through the Western media way of, you know, of sharing information, because they have a very far reach. Take, for example, if I had all the millions of dollars and I wanted to make, you know, President Netumbo look bad, all I just have to do is take those millions of dollars, find a bunch of Congress guys in the U.S., give them that money, and the next thing you know, President Netumbo is committing, is spreading hate crime in Namibia, and, you know, some people must be sent on refugee status. All we just need is dollar billia. Now you know why democracy is dying. It's because a bunch of people that are entrusted with protecting it are literally selling it. Don't get me wrong. A vrupa is a very fancy thing to drive around. Again. Now, one thing I can assure you today is that I can never be bribed. I can never be bribed. If you don't believe me, just try it. I can never be bribed, especially with an, Alienware Area 51, you know, laptop. And my wife is here doing her technology. What do I do now? Come again? Okay. Well, it wasn't me. Moving on. My tech have been solved, so, I can never be bribed, and let me repeat this one more time. I can never be bribed. If you don't believe me, just try me with a small $3,000. No, small $3,000. Actually, you cannot bribe me with a car. You cannot bribe me with a laptop. You cannot bribe me with a trip to Japan. You cannot bribe me with, what else do I need? You cannot bribe me with with a position in parliament. You cannot bribe me with anything. What? I'm selling my idea here. I also want to be bribed. I also want an iPhone with 2 SIM cards. Look at now, I just snitched on myself.
Ouli omunangeshefa nowahala kushivifa omayakulo oye okupitila mohori ke radio station oyo Eagle FM enyamukulo olongaha ninge kwatafano na Monica koshikondo sheipindi konora 8171 7 1 4 7 1 6 that is 0817147116 mombelewa konora 8 3 2 3 4 3 nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shili nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's 24 minutes left to the hour of 11, so I have a bunch of local stuff to go through. Let's do this now, shall we? Beekeeper advocates for protective laws. Omega 1. Really? Omega 1, a beekeeper from Omega 1 within the Bwabwata National Park in the Kavango East, David Mushavanga has branded his honey as Bushman honey. And calls on government to protect those crucial bee species. Yeah, well, that is true. Protect the bee species. But, I mean, I have seen the movie Beekeeper. I did not know that I have one in my region. Now, that I did not know. Now, speaking of which, you know, when it comes to, if we have a beekeeper, why were we all making fun of the guy from Omusati who was trying to keep a crocodile? And I think it's much easier to keep a crocodile than bees, albeit one of them is going to have you for lunch and the other is going to convert you from a black person into a Chinese, a black one, a blackinese. I'm really hoping the people at the Chinese embassy have a sense of humor and they are just right here in Ludwigsdorf. So they are, beekeepers are calling for legal protection of their practice. Beekeeping is a real thing? Well, forgive me. I'm black. I don't know some of these things. And looking at the name of the guy, I think, minus the David part, I'm yet to meet a Mshavanga from Europe. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that he's black. So the way of looking at this is someone has taken the initiative to keep, of all things, bees. And, you know, it turns out you can farm with bees. My God. Can you imagine going on going out on a date and you're like, I'm a farmer. Oh, what do you farm with? Cattle, chicken, sheep, goats. No, none of that. What's that? I farm with bees. How the heck do you vaccinate them? just asking. How the heck do you vaccinate them? Like, if you come here, all 5 million of them, one by one. It's going to take your entire life. But there's a whole way of taking care of bees. I've seen these things in TV, but man, shout out to that guy. Farming with bees. I love honey. But I don't want anything to do with bees. Look, like everyone that grew up at the village, my homies and I, found, bees. They decided to, to settle in, in an anthill. We call it Thuru. Now, they do set up, camp in those places, sometimes. Now, when you find it, we usually just go there and, break their home apart and then steal their honey. We don't call it that. We have some fancy way of calling it in my language. Now, one thing that we do is, whether they also settle in a tree, especially those ones that have like a hollow center, they will put their honey in there. Wherever you see bees flying around, chances are very high they have their nest somewhere where they have a lot of honey. And like everyone that grew up at the village looking after cattle, you go just chop down the tree and then you fill all the buckets with honey, then you come home and eat. And then I moved to Windhoek. 500 grams. $84. I'm like, what the heck? I eat these things for free. And someone asked me, where do you eat those things for free? I'm like, at home. It's like, well, congratulations. Checkers is not your home. You're going to have to go and buy. Like, thank you very much for pointing it out, but you're useless. I thought we were friends. But anyway, there's bee farming. Now, before some one of you starts, you know, looking into COVID-19 farming, that's still a virus. So stay away if I were you. Fun fact, there's a type of a bee that comes out of Asia. And it's the only carnivorous species of bee. In other words, it eats flesh and it also makes honey. You don't want to imagine what that honey looks like because it's basically gooey. Yeah. Oh, Namibia's nuclear dream is valid. So Namibia's, you know, experts are giving us a green light that, you know what? If you want to pursue nuclear energy generation, that is a brilliant idea. Why are we only doing this now? Have you seen the electricity tariff prices? Like, they're depressing. So, nuclear energy have been given a green light. Brilliant idea. One of the foremost domestic experts in nuclear physics has encouraged Namibia to waste no time with including nuclear energy in its energy mix. Now, for those of you that missed, nuclear energy mix is a form of energy generations that you want to put together to solve your energy security. In other words, you can't just stick to wind because sometimes the wind is not going to blow. And you can't just stick to the sun because, well, at night you are not going to find that. Okay, you are going to find the sun, but it's some parts of the world and you can't keep it on your country alone. First of all, that would be selfish. Two, it's impossible unless you are Joshua. Then, sure. Hang on a second. Joshua would be a brilliant guy for green energy. You know, just keep the sun shining on Namibia and we generate our electricity and screw everyone else. Oh my God, that is selfish. Well, I know. We live on planet Earth. Everyone is selfish. Just that well. Some are willing to admit that the selfishness is in them. Some are willing to be running around telling people, I'm the most selfless. Nah, liar. We're all selfish just to some degree. Oh, Gambia, we'll get to those guys later. And my time is flying really fast. Oh yeah, expand protest cancer screening to rural areas, World Health Organization. this part, I decided to come to this part because it has two things to do. For two reasons. Reason number one, because it concerns my gender. Now, I can't stress this enough. If you identify as a guy, but you are a woman, this has nothing to do with you. If I was a doctor and you show up with your twins telling me that you have prostate cancer, I'll punch you in the face because that's not a joke. This is serious. Says a guy sitting in a comedy show. World Health Organization is calling on Southern African countries, including Namibia, to expand prostate cancer screening to rural areas for early detection. One thing I have come to learn so far about basically anything cancer is that the earlier it is detected, the better.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Skyfi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide.
So, one of the type of cancer that is very prone to my gender is called testicular cancer. It's in the name. It's cancer of the testicles. So, that means in between foreplay and having a good time, let's mix a little bit of examination in there, you know, for early detection. Now, the second reason why I brought this up is because basically most of modern day diseases and conditions are either most of them are caused and are either caused or exacerbated by modern diet. More like a Western diet. So, I came across one guy on social media last week explaining, the link between colon cancer and the lack of fiber in our day-to-day nutrition. In other words, it's not the main, it's not the main cause, it's not the only cause, but one ways to mitigate some of these things is just watch what you eat. Man, that is difficult. Oh, I know, believe me. I'm one of those people that will eat anything on a plate. That's why I'm saying, boy, that is difficult. In other words, our bodies are designed to operate on a lot of things. And take, for example, if you take petrol and put it in a diesel engine, you're going to ruin it. So a lot of us are busy putting diesel in a petrol engine and petrol in a diesel engine. And we are ruining a lot of things over a long run. Now, one of the reasons why cancer is very dangerous is because it can lay dormant like we went through in detail with the, with HPV, caused cervical cancer, it can remain dormant for a decade. You just be walking around thinking you're perfectly healthy. Turns out, nope, you're not. You just wake up the next day, tune in Mind the Gap, and, there's a whole different show with a bunch of guys going, he was very funny. And you're like, well, what happened to the guy? Well, that's all jokes that he was making here. Well, homeboy was just dying inside. He had Holy Spirit cancer. Wait. There's no Holy Spirit cancer, is there? If you bring in a pastor, I'd be like, yes, my son, there is Holy Spirit cancer. It is called sin. Oh, dear. Boy, oh, boy. Mandatory test. Coordinators of the African Cancer Regulatory Network, Donald Parkin, suggested mandatory prostate specific antigen (PSA) testing, which has helped reduce delays in diagnosing prostate cancer in the United States. So, medical examination. The reason why this is a very awesome subject to talk about is, a lot of us, especially in the, white people, stay out of this. One thing I've come to learn about black people is that we don't look for help until it's late. It's the same thing with our cars, with service. What the heck is that? I don't know what you speak of this service thing. Service your car? No. Until it breaks down, then we call a mechanic. See? And you see the same thing with the, with our fuel tanks. Where do you think the phrase, I know my car, comes from? You think white people came up with that? No. You think Chinese came up with that? No. You think Indians came up with that? I know my car is something that's coming out of the black community. You just drive around with the gauge on E because, your car. Until it stops in the middle of the road and, a bunch of traffic officers shows up and they're like, officer, I thought I knew my car. That whole I know my car mentality, we have the same mentality with our own bodies. We don't go for medical exams. What for? You start having a back, a back pain. You just massage it out with your own hands. And you're like, moving on. Then you get home and find out, actually you have been walking around with neck cancer. For how long? 15 years? 15? What the heck? Man of God, confirmed spirit. All right. So, okay. This is what raises a lot of questions about our public health sector, because my God, our public health sector, men and women are overwhelmed. So prioritizing them in our budgeting would be actually very nice to make sure that we have a healthy economy. We have a healthy working men and women. spirit cancer. Well, does that mean that, you know, Kamboroto is marriage cancer? Or a bestie is relationship cancer? Oh. Now my mind is just going wild at this one. You know, on this one. Now let's stop marriage cancer. The whole time they're talking about Kamborotos. To Ben 10s these days. Thank you very much for including us in, you know, Ben 10 on the side. The problem is both of them gets you shot. Someone's wife, someone's husband. If I were you, I would run for my life. Now, let's wrap it up with something that I found on social media yesterday. And that is a man in the Zambezi region was arrested with, good news, lion parts, including lion, a bunch of bones, like literally bunched up together, and, a lion skin and a lion oil. He was, someone checked his bag, and then arrested. But I'm just saying, what if that is a traditional pharmaceutical, you know, supply chain that was interrupted? For all you know, police officers with your checkpoint mentalities, for all you know, out there is someone's husband, terrible in bed, depending on that oil. They are waiting for that oil so that they can rock someone's world. Now you don't ruin everything. I'm just saying we should begin to recognize some of these pharmaceutical products. Traditional pharmaceutical products. If you check in my bag and you find roots bound together, that's not called deforestation. No, that's paracetamol in its raw form. Unprocessed, unfiltered, zero negative side effects. And you all are just confiscating everything. Officer, now see, how is your activity there in the bedroom? Now, if you don't confiscate my stuff, I can help you with a promotion. You know, you guys also don't know how to talk your way out of these things. That's what I would do. So a gentleman was arrested with all the traditional, I'm just saying, what if? I'm not saying it's what happened. I'm just saying, what if the confiscation of these products was an interruption to the traditional pharmaceutical supply chain? I will leave it there. But also on the bright side, maybe the oil was intended to make someone, make someone dot hemak. You know, using some, using some lion dreams. You know, I had a dream that I ate a bone of a lion, and now I'm not feeling welly, and execution. You know, one thing about witchcraft is, if you are executed in Africa, no trace, zero DNA evidence, zero fingerprint evidence. Like, we are talking everything, zero. For some reason, we couldn't use that to witch the heck out of Antrota. That's the problem I have with that power. Starlink, government urges to prioritize Namibian interest. Well, Starlink, after they were rejected, Starlink, an internet service providing company, owned by yours truly, the first South African refugee to migrate to the US, and decided to acquire himself citizenship status, aka Elon Musk. Moving on, Elon Musk decided to, went into South Africa, wanted to get into the South African market with his Starlink internet service provider. And then he was, told that, according to our laws, any company that operates in telecommunication that comes into our country they have, you know, they have to meet this and these requirements. And because he's a billionaire, and he was like, nah, I'm not meeting those requirements. I'm just going to find a different market somewhere. And he thought that Namibia is that market. And decided, you know what, I'm going to Namibia. And then when he came to Namibia, what he did not know, if he stayed in South Africa long enough, he should have, known that there is zero difference between Namibia and South Africa. Absolutely next. When he was, when his parents were busy stealing all the resources and stuff to put the money together that laid the foundation for his wealth, this was one country. How did he not know that? He decided, you know what, I'm going to Namibia. And when he got here, he found that, well, we also have the same requirement. A percentage of your shares must be owned, you know, locally owned. And everyone is, so he, we know he's going to say absolutely not, because South Africa's population and Namibia's population, last time I checked, Joburg only has like 5 million people. We are not even 4, let alone 5, we're 3 million. So in other words, the entire population of Namibia can fit in Joburg. So then whole South Africa is going to be empty if it was just us. Translation, we really need to put more passion and more power. So industry experts want the government to prioritize Namibia's future as it weighs exempting United States based Starlink from 51% local ownership rule. Nearly a year after it applied to operate in Namibia under its 100% foreign ownership model, billionaire Elon Musk's satellite internet company remains in regulatory limbo. While Namibia's Communications Act caps foreign telecom ownership at 49%, Minister of ICT, Emma Tefelus, has the power to grant the company the right to operate in Namibia without local ownership. So that's one of those, discretionary power, if you can call it that. You know, also the more like a workaround of some of the laws that are regulating that ministry. You know, the same thing that put us in the fissure of trouble, that, you know, discretionary power. Is the reason why we ended up with the fish in trouble. You know, just put it in there so that you can navigate around. On the other side, it's a good thing for example, in the Ministry of Health, I think it's one of those things that makes it, gives room for emergency procurement. So that you don't have to spend 10 years arguing whether you should procure, you know, COVID-19 vaccine when it's busy, you know, slaughtering people left, right, and center. Whether or not the Minister of ICT is going to open the, is going to say, you know what, because you are rich and we also want internet, rural internet connectivity, and also our internet has been labeled as, categorized as the slowest, among us the slowest on the planet, why don't you just come here and provide us the internet? Would that be a good thing if you connect a lot of people to the internet? Or would that be a bad thing in a way that it will basically drive out competition?
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Titan
titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Moving on. Where was Egg? A minute past the hour of 11. For those of you that just tuned in, this brings us to the end of the week and end of Mind the Gap for the week, not forever. Thank heavens. End of Mind the Gap for the week until Monday, same time, same place on Eagle FM. But before I just run away, still, you know, a few minutes from the Sizo Masalicho guys. Guys, you know, that whole thing of, white people thinking black people are the enemy, black people thinking white people are the enemies. The truth is anyone can be your enemy. Like I pointed out earlier, Compaoré that took over power in Burkina Faso backstabbed his childhood friend, Thomas Sankara, in the name of money. Your homie can backstab you. So Thomas Sankara found out the hard way. And the story goes that when he was told that he was going to be betrayed by his best friend, he said that if Compaoré is going to betray me, then I'm cooked. Not in those exact language, because he was having serious diplomatic conversation, or more like a serious diplomatic or more like political conversation discussions. He was not hosting Mind the Gap. Now, one way of looking at that is, I think it's a high time we just come to the realization that, side with people that aligns with your goal. Not don't make it a tribal thing or a racial thing, because you'll be disappointed. Big time. 3 minutes past the hour of 11. Prostate cancer is serious. Basically all types of cancer, prostate, testicular, cervical, breast. Please say that aloud. Hang on a second. Let me increase the volume a bit.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Yeah, I know you're fine. Please say that again.
Do you know you can actually prevent
prostate cancer?
Uh-huh. How?
By having sex every day.
How?
By having sex every day.
Now, ladies, the best prostate cancer have just been eradicated in Namibia. Well, hang on a second. Are you saying that,
yeah. So when you have, when you have sex every day,
uh-huh,
you are reducing the likelihood of developing prostate cancer. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't. Okay, now.
As a man?
I did not. Leave me alone. Now, one question.
Yeah.
Does taking suspiciously long shower count?
No.
Oh, man. Oh.
No, it doesn't count.
Okay, so it must be meeting someone.
Now, yeah, you need to have sex. I don't know, but I think you just need to keep releasing those things.
The boys?
Yes.
Okay, so.
And the girls.
It turns out, ladies, please feel pity for us. We don't want to die from prostate cancer.
Please. So when that man of yours is asking for cookie every day, please give it. Because you are also saving him from prostate cancer. So give it as many times as he wants. Give it.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the next men's conference, she is the main speaker.
MC, please.
What MC? You are giving the keynote speech.
Okay.
Thank you.
Definitely, I'll be the main speaker.
Thank you.
Yes. So
now,
make sure No, but not only the men's conference, because I also need to let the women know, right?
Yeah.
I also need to tell the women that it's very important that
it's very important
they give the cookie on a daily basis, every day. Or allow your men to have a sister girlfriend or a sister wife.
What would I do without you?
Yes. Allow your man to have a sister girlfriend or a sister wife, because he needs to have it every day. Every day, ladies. Every day. Okay, enough now. Bye.
Every day. You hear
every
that?
Day.
You every might give that cookie. Day. Mm. Okay, look, I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you that I'm not the only, guy that's having a party inside because of that wonderful advice you just shared with us on Friday. Thank you very much. Until Monday, same time, same place on Eagle FM. Every day.
Every day.
Ouyo mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma akuro e kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuru olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono raheta tuimwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa kono raheta tu natu, mbali o heta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.